Hey, thanks for logging in. Thanks for logging into Blog Talk Radio. Today we are talking about Psalmist and the prophetic. We are going into Psalms chapter 110, and we are going to talk about where we see the prophetic in this Psalm. So let's start off in prayer. So, Father, we thank you for this hour, Lord. We thank you, Father, that you are such a revealing God, a futuristic God. We thank you, Father, that you are above all and in time. Father, we ask, Lord, that you would have your way in this time of 30 minutes of meeting, and that you would empower your hearers to see what you want us to see. And we ask, Lord, in Jesus' name. So we're going to talk about prophetic first. I want you guys to realize what the prophetic is. Prophetic is actually something that describes something very accurately. Prophetic is prophecy, something that's predicting what will happen in the future. It has it's actually related to a characteristic of a prophet. So that's why the prophetic of prophecy can be confused and people can automatically assume they're a prophet, but in reality it's not. It is a characteristic of a prophet. You have your prophets and you have your prophecy. And when you come into the new covenant of the New Testament, your reward for being a believer is to have the spirit of prophecy. So that is automatically a set thing as part of your new covenant of coming into as a believer. So I can see how it can get a little confusing because it's a characteristic of a prophet. It's a piece of a prophet. It's something that a prophet has, but you two now have it as a born-again believer. But it does not make it a prophet. Prophets, you can tell very differently from someone who's just ordinary and it's not a prophet and might have a different type of calling in their life. The prophets are very, very sold out for God. And not that not any believers aren't, but they're very zealous for the word and zealous for the things of God. But we're not going to get into the prophet today. We're going to get into the prophetic. I want you to understand that Jesus is a prophet. He was a prophet here on the land. And yes, he was king. Yes, he is Lord. He's everything. But number one thing of what I've noticed in him, he was a prophet. So because Jesus, because we have Jesus in us, we have many of his characteristics. So those are being, you know, having the spirit of prophecy, one of the characteristics of Jesus. So it makes sense of how you can, you know, have this gift. Let's see, let's go in a little further. Prophetic believers are called to have this character of Jesus in them. If you look really quick to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 5, let's just go in there really quick. I want to talk to you about what it says in the Bible. I think there's even a place where he says there was a story in the Bible where it says that everyone in the room was prophesizing, and when non-believers came in, they fell into the spirit of prophesizing too. So this is the one reason why Corinthians speak about having the gift of prophecy, because it's something that can change an unbeliever into a believer in a split second. We're talking about instantaneous change. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 5, it says, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I'd rather that you have prophecy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues. Unless someone interprets so that church may be edified. So he's even saying, I'd like everybody to speak in tongues, but I would rather that you have the gift of prophecy, because prophecy is so much greater than speaking in tongues. When you're moving into the prophetic, you're moving into a divine connection with heaven, and where revelation is being released and things are being spoken forward and things are being broken off. When we move into a divine movement, there is releasings of freedom upon people and believers and non-believers that lead them, like that seed of faith that is planted in them is now going to be released because the spirit of prophecy touched an area that no one else would know. Only God. So the spirit longs to release the gifts. I believe he would love to release all of them, and all will be released when fully walking in the spirit of maturity. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11, and I'm trying to do this quickly. We have 20 minutes left. And, you know, it can get really intense. So if you go to 1 Corinthians verse 12, chapter 12, verse 11, all these are the work of the one and the same spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. He releases them according to what he determines. What does the spirit look for when he determines what to release? Does he look at our fruits? Does he look at the seven spirits of God, or does he do both? Either way, I truly believe that he loves to give out the gift of prophecy, and that's his probably his first gift he'll give you, and it's so that you can encourage non-believers to believe in God again. So if you go to Psalms 110, let's get there. Now we're going to go into Psalms 110, and I want to show you something that the Lord revealed to me yesterday, which I found very awakening for my life, and I hope that it's awakening for yours as well, to find out that we are, let's get there. 110, it says, "The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." David was in a moment of prophecy, and he was prophesizing something. The crazy thing is that he says, the first verse says, "The Lord is my Lord." Who is he talking about? He says, "The Lord," it says, "The Lord says to my Lord." Obviously, you can see that God is speaking to Jesus at this very moment in time, okay? The prophecy of Psalms 110, it's about the priestly kingship of Jesus. He's speaking of Jesus before Jesus even was created in the natural realm. Jesus places the Psalms, he places this very prophecy in the mouth, in the voice of David, okay? And Jesus King, that was 14 generations away from his own bloodline. So here's David probably sitting in on his throne, maybe just looking into the kingdom, and all of a sudden the spirit of prophecy is thrown upon him, and Jesus has to release these words about a conversation that Jesus and God, his Father, is having in heaven 14 generations before he was even naturally born. And here he is, and he's like talking, God is talking to Jesus, and he's telling Jesus, like, look, this is what's going to happen. It's already been done. Sit right here at my right hand, and I'm going to make the enemies a footstool. So here's Jesus, 14 generations before his birth, sitting at the right hand of God already, saying, "I've made your enemies a footstool." 14 generations is a long time away. We're talking about each generation is 25 years. Each generation. So you can do the math and figure out how long it takes for 14 generations to come. My thing was, it was already done even before Jesus was here on earth. Jesus was using this prophetic word. He was using this divine moment to bring something to pass here in the earth realm, in the natural realm. We are kingdom-minded people, and we need to use the gift of prophecy, the gift of the prophetic, to bring the thing, to bring the kingdom on earth so that the kingdom on earth can move. Okay, because there is actions in words, okay? You can't say you're going to speak something and think it's not going to affect somebody. Whether you're speaking someone something bad, whether you're speaking something good, that's why the Bible says watch what you say and make sure what you say is encouraging, okay? Because when we plant a word out and we plant, let's say we go and we speak something bad, that person carries that seed for as long as however you offended that person until they realize that they've been offended, and now they have the whole process of uplifting maybe a root of a tree, who knows, however long it grows. But
A prophetic word is a word that brings action, that brings things to manifest here on earth. It says, the Lord says to my Lord, what did David see at that hour? What was he hearing? You know, what you have to think about, the Lord was speaking this word to manifest on the natural realm. And it brings you to that place of the place of the hour of what, how far back up are we? Because we're talking about King David so many years ago, sitting on his throne, speaking out this prophecy that was already declared in heaven, and here we are 14 generations later having to manifest the child being birthed through Mary. How far back in time are we? Which made me think about eternity, which made me think about how we, you know, prophetic words come out of eternity. They don't come out of a time because it's a timely word. It's a timely word because it just manifested on earth, but it's been in the kingdom of heaven. Prophecy comes from heaven. It's a divine connection from heaven to earth, releasing the things of the heavenly realm into the earth so that the thing, so that the very kingdom of God can reign upon the earth at this time and hour. Not enough of us are prophesizing. Not enough are speaking out prophetic words from the kingdom. We're not giving God enough time to speak forth the divine connections he wants us to lay these seeds on the ground of earth, because he has to come and reign on earth. Kingdom, it says in Matthew, look at my hands, behold, the kingdom of heaven is here. It's on your hands. And so prophecy is a tool from the kingdom of heaven that comes and lays it upon your hands to release the kingdom here on earth. So how far back are we? But I think that's a major, major concern here at this hour, is not to think about the time, but to walk into eternity, to live a life of eternity, to know that it's already been done. These 14 generations and God being up on the throne and him prophesizing before he's even born tells me that it's all been done in the spirit. It just confirms the spirit. God, guess what? God means that when God says, I'm a futuristic God, you just don't understand. He's not into next year. He's into the following year and the year after that and the year after that. You can go 14 generations moving forward and he's in there. Okay, this is the God of eternity. This is who we serve. And now Jesus wants us as believers to be like King David and start to prophesy. Go to the book of Psalms. If you have to do a month of the book of Psalms, 2 months, meditate on the things that David was saying. A lot of the stuff are coming out of his heart, out of the spirit of prophecy. And just begin to declare into the earth realm, okay, God, this is what you want. And let God maneuver his word on the ground so that the kingdom will manifest, so that kingdom believers will rise up and come forth from the ground. I've heard of the Ezekiel anointing coming back again. Only way the Ezekiel anointing come back again if the Ezekiel anointing actually falls on someone and it begins to prophesy that those dry bones will come up out of the ground and begin to shake it. And maybe those dry bones are believers that have been dried out, worn out, torn down. Maybe instead of prophesizing that that those bones might have been, you know, maybe it's the bodies of people who haven't yet encountered God. Maybe those bones are in the mix, too, with believers who have been dried out, burnt out, and torn down. Maybe they're fallen prophets. Maybe they're fallen evangelists. Maybe they're fallen apostles. Maybe these are people that have probably sat around with this gift of prophecy, and no one's allowed them to move in the prophetic realm, and they just dried up. So we have to come back into that place of speaking forth prophetic wording and speaking it as an army. Why do I say this? Because if you go into Psalms 110, you know, God made a promise to Jesus, and his promise is in order of three. There was three promises that he gave Jesus. He says, one, I will allow you to defeat your enemies. They will be defeated. Okay, get it together. Believers, I want you to know the enemy is defeated. Okay, the devil is defeated. He has no authority over you. He cannot hold you.
cannot bind you unless you give him permission, legal access to allow him to do this to you. Unless you don't catch, if you don't allow yourself to be in the word, to be cleansed, you won't catch the tricks that he uses. That's the same strategy, ancient, old. Wake up. The enemy has been defeated. It has been finished at the cross. Okay? He can only play with your mind. He will play with other people's mind. Well, you know, if they're not in the word, they will be played up like a toy. So I'm showing you that in Psalms 10 it says that he says, I'm going to make a footstool, and they are a footstool. This footstool is an ancient, it's like an ancient philosophy, ancient philosophy to show that when the enemy is at the footstool of the king, that means that it's a sign of victory. See? So we are living in a land of victory, and the enemy will come and oppress and try to derange your vision and try to distort things, abort things, but you have to be awakened, church, and realize that you have the gift of prophecy. And when the minute you feel like you're about to dry up and die down, you begin to rise up and declare that he has been defeated and that you are the victor. So number two, it says that he's coming to extend his kingdom. This is the hour that he has extended his kingdom out. I believe he's got enough information out here to give you to know that this is a kingdom mindset, that we are not in a doom days living yet. We are in a place where it's kingdom establishment. It's a place where we have to rise up and know that the rapture's not coming tomorrow. We have eternity right now. We're walking in generations that we have not yet bring forth. There's promises on our children. There's promises on their children. There's promises in my life that have not yet been fulfilled, and I'm not going to die until I see my promise come to pass, and that's a vow that I know that the Lord is going to bring forth, because he is not what? A spirit that breaks promises. He is not a God that lies. He is a God that mends, and he's a God that fulfills. So the promises that are spoken over my life and over my children's life will come to pass, and so will yours. Get up out of your slumber and begin to awaken. There's work to do because the harvest is ripe. So the third thing, he says he gives them victory. He gives them a victorious army. Well, guess what, soldier? Arise and shine and get up off your seat, off your knees, because now the commander is speaking. He's giving orders. He's giving instructions. I need you to move here. I need you to go there. If he's sending you somewhere, don't hold back and go forth, because you have to trust God has made the way. It's all been planned out. It's all been defeated. You're all ready to go. If he's telling you to go, then move. Because that's the only way you'll know. You won't know any other way. So now and if you want to look back, you can look into Matthew 22, verse 22, 41, and 46. He tells the Pharisees about this very prophetic hour, and the Pharisees did not have an answer, and they stood shut, because I believe that religious people can't move in prophecy, because if they did, they would get a revelation that they were in bondage. So I need you to wake up and realize that you have to move in this prophetic. You have to start asking God to release that prophetic, to release the spirit of prophecy upon you, because it's in you. And you have to start declaring things in your house to be broken, declaring things over your children to be broken. You start declaring prosperity. Break off that lack of financial need. Break off that lack of always being in this place, like if you're just some type of slum or what do they call those? Peasant. So a peasant mentality, as if it's okay, I can walk around looking like I'm hurt. No, you are kingdom people who need to be have their place of an anointing to know that you should be looking and living, not just looking, but first living kingdom lifestyle, so that you can walk and look like a kingdom lifestyle. There's work to be done. I call forth all those that have slumbered to be awakened. I call forth all those that are sitting in gifts that God has given you to be awakened. I call forth the Holy Ghost and as the sleeping giant that's in you to wake it up and come out and begin to move and trust God and lay hands and impart the gifts that God has placed in you. Somebody just wake up and begin to move in the prophetic. Trust God. Test it. Practice it. And see how good. That's what the Bible says. See and taste how good the Lord is. So I hope that this teaching has encouraged you. And I pray that those who listen will be awakened, that their ears will snap, that there be a ringing in your ear. And that'll be the ringing that'll release for you to hear from the kingdom. It's not a time to slumber, but a time to awaken and walk this earth as the Lord has called you to walk. People, you need to break off that are hindering you from moving into the glory of God. Break off bad habits and do no more with it. Trust God with your finances. Trust God with jobs. Trust God with your food. He is a provider. He is our healer. He is our redeemer. We have been redeemed, and the work has been finished. So all we have to do is walk out and listen to the command as soldiers that we are, and listen to our commander to give us way on what he wants for you at this hour. Because 2015, you will not be the same. I declare that you would arise and shine and walk into the glory of the Lord. So I thank you for tuning in. That was 30 minutes of impact, and I hope you are impacted and ready to move forth. Stay tuned to the next episode. We'll be doing 30 minutes as much as we can, and even doing 30 minutes videos. So just stay tuned, and I hope this blessed you, and let me pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you that you have given out this seed, and Father, I trust that you will water this seed, and that this seed would grow, and you would be like a tree of life inside their soul, God, and that the Spirit will be the everlasting water that will continue to teach and equip, God, and release, and that he would have his way with your people, God. And I ask, Lord, that you would seal this in the mighty name, in the mighty blood that we are sealed in Jesus. If you have any questions, make sure you email us. We have thehouseofpeter@gmail.com. We also have bird@isaiah60international.org. You can email us there. And we just pray that you have been touched today, and that you have been awakened. And don't take this as another pocket sermon where you run around and you live your life the same. No. Take it as it is time. It is time. It is time for you to do and walk what the Lord has promised over your life. And I thank you for listening in. Stay tuned for our next episode.